This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball is back. 888-808-1019 on the Fan.
It's been a lot of fun so far. Aaron Boone stopped by. Andy Pettit stopped by as well. If you guys missed it, free Odyssey app. Go check it out. Hit a little rewind. BT and Sal live from opening day on the Fan is brought to you by Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball.
By the way, yesterday, you mentioned the free Odyssey app for Boone and Pettit. Yesterday, we had some tremendous interviews. Specifically, Dempster, I thought, was fantastic, and Al Leiter as well. If you have a chance, either watch it on YouTube, especially the Leiter one you want to watch on YouTube.
Making fun of Beningo.
It was just the whole thing was great. His shirt unbuttoned. You go check it out on YouTube or however you listen to it or watch it. But it was worth a listen with Dempster and both Al Leiter as well.
A lot of fun. So baseball's in the air. I know you guys are jacked up to talk about a lot of Yankee issues. We'll get to the Mets in a little bit as well. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Queens. Paul checks in with BT and Sal. What's happening, Paul? How you doing today, bud?
What's going on, guys? How you doing? Happy opening day.
Yes.
Let's go. So basically, I agree with you guys. I think the success of this season depends on the young guys, Wells, Volpe, and Dominguez, and how much they can take a step forward. But personally, I think Wells, I think this is the year. I think he worked on his ability to hit against lefties, and I think he could be an all-star this year. I really do. I think that kid is a stud. I agree with BT. He's going to be an all-star. I think that's going to be this year.
Well, here's what I think is, and Paul, by the way, real quick, what I think is important about Austin Wells' development, and thanks for the call, Sal, he has become a good defensive catcher, and but he was a hit first guy. Like when he came up and he was coming through the Yankee system, they're like, all right, we think he's going to mash a little bit, but we don't know if he can handle the staff or if he's got if his pop time and throwing and those numbers add up. He's proven to be a very good, and numbers back this up, a very good defensive catcher. So even when he gets in a little bit of a slump offensively, they're going to run him out there because he's an asset behind a plate.
It's one thing to say that we think he's going to be an all-star or we think he's going to have a good season. He's actually got to go out there and do it. He doesn't have the track record of doing it. The reason why I believe in him has nothing to do with what he did in the minors, nothing to do with the hype. Last year, when he was hitting fourth for a certain stretch, now in the postseason he was not a threat at all, which was unfortunate, but getting the Yankees on in through the postseason, winning the division, they were at their best when he was the threat behind Judge in that line.
Yes.
Remember, that was the big issue all year long, who's protecting Soto and Judge. And there was a nice stretch where Wells was that guy where you felt like he was going to do some damage when he came up with guys on, and he did. So that, to me, is something to that has some merit. And also now you look at the lineup, he's going to be hitting in front of Judge, which you would think would give him the best protection that you could get.
Yeah, and I think the months were – I'm going to double-check, or Hoff, if you haven't, maybe July and August, his OPS, he had 2 months in a row. I know I referenced this a while ago. July and August, one month was like 938. The other month was like 945, back-to-back, where he was absolutely hitting. You try to throw a a fastball over just to jump ahead 0-1, and he's got that kind of swing where he can take it deep. So, but, you know, I want to get back to something real quick before we get back to the call, Sal. You talk about the young players, and that's I think that's a fairly obvious slash interesting slash important aspect of the Yankee season. Well, I mean, listen, the other two things that jump out to me, now this player's young, but it's different. I think at some point Luis Gil has to return with Luis Gil stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a problem if he doesn't. And if Aaron Judge goes down, it's curtains probably.
Well, they cannot withstand an injury to Aaron Judge. I mean, that's something you don't even want to talk into existence, but it has happened before. If it does happen again, yeah, the Yankees would be toast. And I do think that, remember, if they could overcome losing Gerrit Cole a year ago, forget Gerrit Cole this year because it's the combination of Cole and Heel, but you didn't have Max Fried last year. So that to me is kind of a wash where you didn't have Cole last year and you withstood it, but now you have Fried, which should replace Cole, but now how are they going to withstand losing Luis Gil? That to me would be the question mark for the Yankees, but I think they'll have enough offense, BT, to weather that storm and do enough until Gil comes back. Then the question becomes, is Gil going to be what he was?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, so yeah, it was July and August, 941 OPS in July and 936 in August. I mean, that's 2 months of high-level stuff. Good. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Family. Get Tyler New Windsor. Tyler, what's going on, bud?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's up, Tyler?
What's going on? I just want to say a couple things real quick. I originally called because I believe that Jazz Chisholm's going to have a 30-for-30 season. There's possibility there. At least 25 home runs. He had 75 games or so. 46 games or so, 175 at-bats with 11 home runs and 18 stolen bases, only fought three times. You know, in the playoffs, he struggled, but I think that he's going back to second base, not having to worry so much about learning the new position at third base, is going to help him tremendously. Talking about the lineup today, too, with Dominguez batting six, I thought that Booney would put him probably eight, maybe even seven under Volpe, but I don't know about that one. Paul Goldschmidt, too, another one. You guys were talking about it earlier about getting any production out of Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, the Yankees didn't have a home run from the first base spot since July of last year, and I love Rizzo. I think all of New York does, but it was time
yeah,
to get
was
somebody
shot.
In there.
They were shot.
Right, but we could be saying the same thing about Goldschmidt in a couple of months.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, I think that I would have liked them to go out and get like Carlos Santana. I understand the age, and I think they're kind of waiting for next year for Vlad Guerrero, but at least Carlos Santana, a switch hitter, yes. Goldschmidt, Gold Glove player, you know, former MVP, so was Bellinger. Judge obviously winning the MVP, and everybody can talk about, oh, we got three MVPs in the lineup, that's cool, but these guys all won them back in 2019, 2016, 17, whatever it may be, you know.
It's been a while, yeah. Well, listen, by the way, Tyler, the Yankees did some things this offseason where they are going to be subject to criticism if they don't come to fruition on a positive level. I mean, now, Christian Walker, oblique issue, but that's the player that I wanted. And, you know, I thought the $20 million a year for 3 years, $60 million total, I thought it was good for him. They didn't do that. They got Goldschmidt for 1 year. Maybe I do think Goldschmidt's going to be fine.
But how would you feel if Walker were hitting fourth today?
I mean, if he was healthy, I'd feel a lot better. But listen, I think Goldschmidt's going to have, I'm not saying a massive season, but when you're a professional, like,
Rizzo was that.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I mean,
they tried this thing.
That is true. But I feel like the concussion when he got when he collided with Tatis at first base.
Did he sign on anywhere? By the way, Rizzo.
Yeah, I think he just signed with the Cubs. Didn't he just sign with the Cubs?
Did he? I did not see that.
I thought my son said he signed a minor league deal or he was about to sign with the Cubs. Either we were in the car, and I thought he said that the other day.
Think about that. I get to see where Rizzo, what he ended up doing. But Verdugo couldn't get a bite in the big leagues.
$1.5 million is what he signed for.
These are guys that
I know. That were playing every day. They played in a World Series. They were playing every day. Think about that. I'm happy that we go here unintentionally, but to me, that's why I believe that Aaron Boone is a good manager and the right manager for the Yankees. Verdugo was the starting left fielder. He didn't get a sniff until a week and a half ago, $1.5 million, basically veteran minimum.
And it's a minor league deal, no?
No, I thought it was major league deal for the Braves. I thought it was 1.5 for the Braves. I thought it was major league deal. But, I mean, close to veteran minimum. Your first baseman in the World Series, you know, I mean, I... Did you get that? Did he actually sign with the Cubbies?
I don't think that he did.
Maybe I've got some erroneous information from my
young son. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. I'm trying to check this out.
But anyway. Either way, if he did get signed, it was a week ago. And if not, well, he's still not signed. And the point holds up even more that the Yankees ran out a bunch of guys last year who are basically on the doorstep of being out of Major League Baseball. And I know the Judge and the Soto dynamic, of course, helped propel that. And the pitching was very good. But they did not operate with a ton of... You know, a ton of great players last year. They just didn't. They still got to the World Series.
Yeah, and Boone's withstood injuries before, whether it be to Judge in his tenure. He's done a lot. So, yes, but to me, that's why it comes down to the roster. And when you look at this year's roster, you could say, well, this could be a great team. They could go on and win the World Series. Or if things don't go wrong. My point was the way we looked at Rizzo when the Yankees first got him was far different than the way we looked at him toward the middle and end of his short Yankee tenure. The way we're looking at Goldschmidt today is, hey, I think he's going to be a good pro. He had a good spring, had a good second half last year. Okay, maybe it plays out like that. But maybe it doesn't. And at his age, you just don't know. He's certainly nowhere near the player that he was, and it's the same pattern. The Yankees are doing the same thing they tried to do with Rizzo with Goldschmidt as opposed to getting Walker, who, look, maybe they just don't like. And I don't necessarily love Christian Walker. I know you liked him, but I do feel like there's a little more legitimacy to where he's at currently than the slope that Goldschmidt might be on.
Yeah, I mean, Goldschmidt, you hope he gets off to a great start. Do you think that there's more... Do you think that there's more of a chance? Thank you, Hoff. I don't know what just happened there. My mic hit the wrong button. Do you think there's more of a chance that the Yankees hit their ceiling or they hit their floor? What feels more likely based on all the things we've discussed?
I hate to say it, but I think it's more likely they hit the floor. Now, it's more likely. I don't think that it's going to happen.
Yep.
I think they're going to be good. I think the Yankees will be a good ball club. They will be a postseason ball club, no doubt. They're generally always in the postseason. And I do think some of those question marks are going to go in favor of the Yankees. Ultimately, I don't think they have enough to go win the World Series. So that's why I'd lean toward more the ceiling. And I think it's more likely that they would... Boy, it's hard to even say this, but it's more likely in my mind that they would miss the postseason than win the World Series. I think they're going to make the postseason and not win the World Series. But if you had to ask me one or the other, either a World Series winner or miss the postseason, I could see more things going wrong than everything going right.
888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the Fan live from the stadium. Dr. Steve out at Hofstra. What's up there, Doc? How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to bring up a point. You were talking about Jason Dominguez either possibly being an all-star or going to the minor leagues. The thing is, if they don't work on the mental part of the game, all right, they're not going to succeed. You know, the physical skills are what gets the guys to the major leagues, but if they're not mentally ready, if they're lacking confidence, if they are anxious before a game and it doesn't get picked up and worked on a regular basis, they're not going to do well.
Well, it's hard to delineate. I don't necessarily disagree. I think that applies to every aspect of life, by the way. If you're not in a good space mentally, your natural talents aren't going to flow. You're going to kind of overthink things, get in your own way, whatever. I think that applies to everybody, including baseball players. I think it's really incumbent upon the manager and the leadership of the Yankees, most notably the captain, you know, Aaron Judge, to make him as comfortable as possible. But at the end of the day, hey, Dominguez is going into the batter's box by himself. He's going to be standing on the grass in the left field by himself, and all the work he puts in with the other people in the organization, it will either work or it won't. And I think it's going to work, but I'm not sure. I don't know.
If the Yankees had better depth... And we are not accustomed to seeing the Yankees like this with so many young guys. And so it's different if you've been in the minor leagues and you're ready for the big leagues and they've earned their opportunity. With Dominguez, nobody can say that he has earned the opportunity to be in the big leagues because he has not. When he was in the big leagues for his short stint, 8 games, whatever, he flashed big time.
Yep.
He hasn't earned it other than potential physical ability, what they believe he's going to be. Mm-hmm. He has not raked. He has not even played full seasons in the minor leagues where you say he's ready, he's going to be the guy. That's what would worry me a little bit, is you're kind of throwing him to the wolves with some question marks, and they're doing it, yes, in part because they believe in him, but more because they don't have a better option. And it's going to be a let's wait and see what he can be. And if it goes sideways, then it's going to have to be, okay, well now what?
Well, they did have an option. They elected not to pursue it. You could have traded Louis Seal for Kyle Tucker, and there was your option. And you wouldn't be relying on Dominguez to prosper. You can get a little more seasoning in the minors, or, you know, you can...
Or spend on another outfielder.
Or you could have put Bellinger at first base and not gotten Goldschmidt there. Like, there's other ways to do this. Yeah, they did. This is what they did. And I like what... I don't love what they did. I like what they did. But they did enough things where if it doesn't work out, there's going to be some criticisms. That's just the way it goes, man.
Last time we looked out on this field, BT, as I mentioned, to Booney when we had him on earlier. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Excuse me, I was having a protein bar. I need some water, clearly. Last time the Yankees were out on the field, much like me right there, they were fumbling things away in Game 5 of the World Series. And here we are. It is a brand new series with the highest of expectations, even with all the injuries.
The sun has risen. It always does. It always does. You know, Aaron Judge is, he will not make a play like that the rest of his life. He just won't. He just won't. That just won't happen.
Not like that. He won't be in center field, which is a good thing.
But he could be in the stands as a 90-year-old. If the ball's hit that softly and it comes at him, he's going to catch it. That's just one of those things you can't explain. It happened. It's baseball. And you reboot, you know. Did they reload? I think reload's a little strong. I think there's certainly it was more of a tinker. It was more than a tinker, and I think just short of a reload. And the goal is to get to that point, eventually beyond. But it's a long season, and that must have been, you know, we haven't really talked about it that much. Because what else do you say outside of the obvious of, my God, he'll never make that play again? I mean, how do you think Aaron Judge wrestled with that all offseason?
I think it's going to stick with him until he wins a World Series. I really do.
It might. It really went, Mike.
Not just the offseason. That's why I was telling Booney a little bit. Like, you guys got a taste of it. Yeah. So, all right, eliminate that error for a second. The Yankees tasted the World Series. Because remember, the chase was always at least getting to a World Series. And every year they fell short, losing to the Astros all those years, whatever. So they got there now last year. But to have now that bad, so a little taste of getting there, but also the bad taste in your mouth after the way that it went south.
Yeah.
Dodgers talking smack, all that stuff. Yeah, I think Judge is going to live with that. Until he wins a World Series.
You know, I agree. And I remember when Phil Mickelson was chasing Masters as a younger golfer, and he would just keep blowing up. Like, he would have these sequences, whether it was winged foot or at the Masters, and he had so many top 10 and second place finishes, he just would implode at the end, and he'd have to wait basically an entire calendar year to get back into the position to try to capture a major. And the tough thing for Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge could come out and bang four home runs today, and
doesn't matter.
He could be the player of the month in April and hit 390 with nine bombs and 31 RBIs with an OPS of 1100. I won't say that it doesn't matter. It matters to the season, but it doesn't matter in terms of changing the narrative that he is not a clutch October player. That's going to be a long wait.
Speaking of that, before we get back to the calls, 888-808-1019, we talked about could the Yankees withstand an injury to Judge. We all know the answer to that. They cannot this year kill without Juan Soto. Can they overcome Judge not being Judge for a month of the season, maybe even to start the season, like we saw last year?
It's a good question. Well, let's go back to last year. Okay, so the reason why the Yankees played well last year was the starting pitching carried them, as we've talked about many times. Cabrera was good, and Volpe was very good, and Soto was terrific. So you take Soto out of the equation, and now, all right, even if it's not Volpe, could it be a combination of Bellinger and Jazz, both of whom were not on the roster, as we know, in April, because they were on different teams. And while it's some different pitchers, you know, Cortez is gone, Schmidt is still hurt, whatever, Cole's gone, but Cole wasn't here last April either. I mean, can Max Fried twirl a 1.71 ERA in April and, you know, a couple of the Yankees get hot and withstand a Judge cold start? Yeah, I think maybe for a month, but if it's, I would push it this way. If it's not a vintage Judge season, that's the more interesting question to me. Because the Mets were 0-5 last year.
Right.
I mean, the Nationals won the World Series when they started 19-31. So my answer is yes, but can they withstand an average Judge season? I don't know that they can withstand that.
See, I don't think... Now, you could say that, well, maybe April doesn't matter, and once Judge gets going, then it'll be fine. But I don't believe that they are built well enough to even withstand Judge not performing to the best of his capabilities for a month. And it's not because of the lineup. I think it's a combination, but more specifically the pitching. I think the Yankees are going to have to hit. They're going to hit to win games this year, where last year it wasn't like that. I just don't trust the pitching. Fried, sure. maybe even Rodon. Okay, sure. Clark Schmidt, when he comes back. Will Warren, Marcus Stroman, Carlos Carrasco?
Yeah, no, I get
I'm
it,
not so sure about that. I don't think all of a sudden it's going to be magic for these guys.
I think the Yankees' defense is going to be a lot better. And I think it needs to be better based on how we just started this conversation, what happened with the meltdown in the World Series where it turned into a circus. I think Goldschmidt's a defensive upgrade over Rizzo. I know the Jazz is a defensive upgrade over Torres. Volpe's very good. Third base should be fine catching, but I don't know if they'll hit. Wells could get it behind the plate. Bellinger's better than Judge in center. Judge is better than Soto in right, where he should be. He's back in right field. And then, obviously, if Dominguez is a mess, that changes things. But if he turns into a competent left fielder, and, you know, I was talking to Booney off the air, where even you're going to have some situations where if Dominguez hits enough to merit playing every day, where he still might get pulled in, you know, higher leverage situations and put Grisham, I know we kind of Grisham, whatever, but Grisham's a good fielder, put Grisham in left field or put Grisham in center and Bellinger in left end. Now you've got an amazing outfield and a really tight defense, which could help the pitching and should. But listen, I think that it's going to be a nightly battle for this team. I don't think that you tune in and expect to win 8-1 like the old days and or 2-0. No, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough grind, dude.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019.
Let's get back to the calls. How about Joe B. in Saddle River? Joe B. on the fan. What up, Joe?
Bro, I was out there at a golf course the other day. I listened to the Odyssey app on my flip.
Yeah, right, Joe. Come on, buddy. That's just a. If it was a good imitation, we'd give you a little time. Wasn't even good. Anybody could say, bro. Let me get Chris in Port Washington. Al Leiter's imitation was better than yours. What's happening there, Chris? How you doing, buddy?
How we doing, guys? I'm on my way to the game right now.
Nice.
Wanted to talk about a couple of things. Stole a little bit of the thunder there, but. The last year, two things that hurt the team was defense and base running. We are much better defensively.
Yep.
We are going to be faster with Bellinger and Dominguez, Jazz Chisholm all year. Look at what Jazz did in the first week. But then the biggest thing that hasn't been talked about by you guys at all is Clay Holmes blew 14 games last year. We're getting Devin Williams. And while Clay Holmes might be a great starter for the Mets, he was an awful closer for the Yankees.
No, he was an all-star. Hold on. He was an all-star pitcher for them in the first half of the year. So that's just incorrect.
He led the league with 14 blown saves.
Okay, congratulations. It doesn't matter. He was an all-star closer for them in the first half. Clay Holmes wasn't great in the second half of the year. He was the furthest thing from the Yankees' biggest problem.
And by the way, Sal, one sec there, Chris. He actually became fairly competent once he went into a different role there. So, I mean, it was kind of touch and go. He'd be back into the Yankee bullpen for a while. But once Holmes rectified things, he was actually pretty stable before the ninth inning.
My point is that he lost his job to a journeyman reliever who turned into a great player, right? But Luke Weaver was not expected to be the Yankees' closer in the World Series.
All right.
And now we're adding Devin Williams. So you think that by addition, yes, we lost Juan Soto, but we got more pieces to help the depth.
I agree
of
with that.
Team, and hopefully.
I agree. But those pieces have to play well, Chris, because if Bellinger hits a soft 270, that's not going to sound good in June. You got more pieces to replace Soto.
Okay, well,
pieces better play well.
Okay, who were the more pieces? Fried,
Goldschmidt, Bellinger. I would even say, Jazz for a full season.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
so.
Who am I missing there? I think I'm missing one. Did I say Devin? Goldschmidt, yeah. Devin,
right,
Belly.
So, okay, so Fried, right? You say, okay, Fried, that's addition. Yeah, well, you lost Gerrit Cole. So that's a wash, let's just say.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, Goldschmidt should be better.
He'll be
at
better,
first base,
Rizzo, no doubt.
Hard to be.
Worse.
Equal or worse than Rizzo.
Terrible.
I mean, if Goldschmidt is equal or worse than Rizzo,
yeah.
We got major problems. So, yes, he should be. Okay, I'll give you that. A little bit better.
Yep.
Devin Williams, you're not just putting him in there on top of what you had. You lost an all-star closer in Clay Holmes. He's better than Holmes, you would think. His numbers have been better. He has been proven to be better. That's also New York. He's got to prove he could do it here. But let's not make it like it's Williams on top of what they had. He's replacing Holmes. So, okay, is he better? I'll give you that. I'll give you he's marginally better. But
I think he's better, marginally better. I think the better question or the bigger fear, can Luke Weaver replicate what Luke Weaver did a year ago, not as a closer, but now going to the eighth inning, is Luke Weaver's stuff transferable again? If it is, then the Yankees' bullpen is going to be absolutely amazing.
Well, it's still a big if. And also, like I said, you're taking out – let's look at the numbers. The Yankees went to the World Series last year. Mm-hmm. Who was their best bullpen arm from start to finish of the year?
Well, I'm not going to say Clay Holmes.
It was that, Clay Holmes.
No, it wasn't.
Who was it?
He was atrocious for five weeks of the season.
No, I said from start to finish of the year. The guy was an all-star.
I understand
that. And then even to your point, he rectified it toward the end of the season.
He was a massive issue. He blew lead after lead.
Who was their best? All right, who was their best?
I don't know that they really had one.
Tim Hill?
I don't know that they had one.
I'm legitimately asking. Like, I love the idea. Oh, they got Williams.
Yeah, but
lost Holmes. Holmes was he was a high leverage impact reliever for the majority of the season.
And then he lost his job because his ERA was almost 6, and he was a massive problem who couldn't pitch anymore. I would rather have.
It wasn't that he couldn't pitch anymore. He was in a different role, and then he became effective again. As a matter of fact, he was getting huge outs in the Yankees' final stretch and in the postseason
when he wasn't a closer. Yeah. I would rather have Clay Holmes as a starter on the Yankees than as a reliever. Pitcher.
It's not about Clay Holmes.
Devin Williams is better than Clay Holmes by every measurable statistic. Devin Williams is one of the top two relievers in baseball the last 4 years.
Yeah, I love Devin Williams.
He's unbelievable.
I love Devin Williams, especially when Pete Alonso
took
a deep
Pete hit the home run. Fantastic. Whoa.
Not only hit the home run.
Mariano gave up a home run to Sandy Alomar in 97.
Okay, but Devin Williams.
Dennis Eckersley gave up one to Gibson.
Williams. Stinks. Well, everybody says Devin Williams is the best closer in the sport. He had a chance to close out a postseason series and spit the bit to a guy who wouldn't hit a home run if he fell out of a boat.
Yep.
Or I guess he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat the majority of the season.
You tip your cap. I mean, it was and basically it scraped the fence and it barely went over.
He blew the season.
I mean,
here's the
thing.
He
barely got enough barrel on the ball to get over the fence.
We ripped Clay Holmes because he blew some saves in the regular season. Devin Williams blew the entire Brewer season, and yet he's the best closer in the world. I'm saying he's an upgrade over what they had. I don't think it's as significant as what everybody else is saying. But let's say that he is. I'll even give you that. I'll give you Williams. I'll give you a little bit of Goldie. Mm. Bellinger and Soto, it's a non-starter. I wouldn't even have the conversation because I think it's foolish and idiotic. And I think Bellinger's going to have a big year. So where exactly are we saying that the Yankees have added and have gotten significantly better? And I bet if you ask the New York Yankees or people in the organization, people on the field in uniform, they would say the same thing, that they were better a year ago the way that they had it. Different this time. Maybe it'll work out better. I don't think you could come on and say that they are definitively better.
I could say they're definitively better defensively. There's no question. I mean, Judge is better than Soto. Bellinger's better than Judge. And you know, Goldschmidt's better than Rizzo. So and Jazz, if you look at, I'm not talking about left field. I don't know about I don't know about Dominguez yet. I mean, I honestly don't know. I'm not saying he's going to be great. I'm not saying he can't get the job done. First base, second base, center field, right field, all indisputably better defensively than last year. Now, by the way, I'm not going to get Bellinger, Soto. Who would waste time on that? Just come on, why waste anybody's time?
Right.
What I would say, I think the more applicable point is the growth of the young players. Now if you don't get that, got some problems.
Well, right, because Wells should be much better than he was a year
ago. That's what I'm saying. And if you get that with the additions, now you've got the potential to have a more well-rounded team. And I think that's the common thought. I mean, listen, there's a lot of variables that have to come to fruition. And I think it makes it interesting. I'll tell you what it doesn't do. Doesn't make it a lock for anything. That's right. Why their over-under is below 90.
And by the way, I think it's a fair conversation.
It is.
And a fun conversation.
Of course.
I just don't like the idea, well, they added this or that. Well, no. They also lost some things, too. It's not just apples to apples here. For me, it's just about the Juan Soto show. The result of day one, yeah, okay, Clay Holmes and how he looked and with the Mets bullpen, maybe Edwin Diaz and his velocity. I don't even care about the result of the game. I'd like to see the Mets win, of course, but I just want to see Juan Soto, his first at-bat. I want to see his first game, what Juan Soto could do in Houston. Now that I think about it.
Yes, they did.
Yankees opened in Houston last year.
And didn't the Mets open at home to the Brewers? Because didn't they have that slide
with
Rhys Hoskins, right?
Good call.
Yeah, man.
What? That is weird.
I don't know what the hell baseball's doing. I mean, it is very odd.
That's an odd one.
Because Soto gunned somebody down at the plate.
Yeah.
Never on opening day from right field.
I just remember the Houston series. Remember the Yanks got down early in that game with Cortez on opening day.
Uh-huh.
But that Houston series was kind of a statement early on.
And then they went to Arizona, who was in the World Series the year before, and they won two.
They were 5-1 on the way home.
I think they were 6-1. Then it was a 7-game road trip.
Whatever it was, came back home, and then that's when they started to look like the offense wasn't going
to
get it done.
That's when I sat next to your crazy uncle, and the Yankees didn't score any runs for us that day. Basically.
So different here is the Yankees open at home, and the Mets now open on the road. But yeah, Juan Soto, I wanted to see what he could do in a Mets uniform.
He looks good in the uniform, man. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
He looks good in the uniform. Definitely looks good. I think the real show, of course, Met fans can't wait to watch their team play baseball today. The real show is when he's introduced in Queens for the first time.
Yeah, that's true, too.
That's the show.
And I hate the idea that you have to have a Man, somebody's got to open on the road. I hate that idea, though, especially with Juan Soto being unveiled. He's going to have his first games on the road. It'd be nice to have his first game at Citi Field.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I think that for me with the Mets, you know, we hit a couple of things, obviously, very important for the Yankees here. The young players, obviously, Heel's health and Judge's health, et cetera. You know, I don't think that Brett Beatty is imperative to the Mets' success. Actually, I think Evan framed it really well. I had the show on coming back yesterday from MLB Network, and they were talking about that. And Beatty was more of, okay, if he does well, great. It just makes us even more dangerous. If not, well, you got other options. You know, Acuna eventually or McNeil, whatever. I think the biggest key for the Mets would be, I really think it's Vientos, because I know who Soto is. I know at this point who Lindor is in New York. I strongly believe Pete's bouncing back and thumping. I think if you get like another year like this from Vientos, which I think you will, I think he's that guy. But if you do, now the offense is a different level for the Mets.
Yeah, I think it's about Pete Alonso. For me, he's got to be, if he's not an impactful Pete Alonso having a monster year, then all of a sudden that lineup that everybody's comparing to the best team since 2006, blah, 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 which I do believe it is their best lineup since 2006, but a part of that has to be Pete producing at a high level. Pete Alonso's last season, nothing would indicate that he should be their three-hitter this year and that we should be looking at him as a stud star in that lineup. I think it's what he's done before, and I think it's the hope of what he could do. He is still now playing in essentially a walk year again. He has failed at that before. So where's the guarantee that Pete Alonso is going to go out there and have that big season? I think it's more likely Pete Alonso ends up hitting fifth sooner than later, and they move Vientos up to the third spot, because I believe the Mets' three best hitters are Lindor, Soto, and Vientos, not in that order, but just that's how it should be in the lineup, Lindor, Soto, and Vientos. I think Nimmo's a huge X factor for this team. At cleanup, he's a guy who talks a lot now, one of the leaders of this team.
Yep.
He's got to stay healthy. He's got the potential to be, you know, 25 home run guy, driving a lot of runs, being, you know, hitting behind all those monsters in front of him in that lineup now, especially with the addition of Soto. So maybe Nimmo and Alonso are the two keys for me. But if Pete Alonso doesn't have his, I don't want to say his best season, because that, not realistic from what he did as rookie.
53 home runs.
Yeah.
No, I got you.
But if he doesn't have an impactful season, which he did not a year ago, I don't see how this Mets team takes that next step.
And I don't see any situation how he doesn't. And I know the easy response would be, well, he didn't have an impactful season last year, so why could you say with such confidence that he's going to have a majorly impactful season this year? I just, it's kind of a gut thing. It's kind of a...
You think he's a good hitter?
I think that he got away from what made him a good hitter. I think his approach, I believe he went to school on his approach. So do I believe he's a good technical hitter in terms of like the quality at bats and getting deep in the count and really, you know, spitting on the stuff in the dirt and squaring things up that he should? No, I thought he was at one point. I don't think Pete Alonso needs to be a great hitter. I think Pete Alonso needs to be a great run producer. There's a massive difference.
Right. But he's hitting third.
Well, I understood. But I really
And by the way, Boone, what did Boone just tell us? He said statistically proven.
The third hitter comes up
with the least
amount of RBI opportunities in baseball, then so maybe that's why they're sticking him there. I mean,
I know, but if he's supposed to be a run producer, he's not a good hitter.
No, I know, but think about this. Maybe this is their way of saying, well, he's really not that good, so let's put him in. Well, I mean, I'm kind of overthinking this, but.
I think that you know there's something to that.
I mean, I know they've got the analytics as well that Boone has access to, and I have seen that statistic along the way and other variations of it, so Boone is absolutely spot on. Listen, I think what Pete got away from was going to the other field.
And by the way.
Going the other way.
Yeah, right.
I really do. And the way you do this, right, Sal, now the home run off Devin Williams, maybe that's good. That was the other way. And he hit a couple of others against the Phillies. Maybe that is his way. And again, dude, I'm not a hitting coach. I'm going to stay in my lane. But hitters get broken when they don't let the ball travel too deep. They're out in front of the ball, and then they are cooked when somebody throws a spin on a ball, slider curve. I think the reason his average plummeted so much is because he became so pull happy and didn't let the ball travel deep. And when you do that, you're going to be vulnerable to the other stuff. I think he went to school this offseason, and that's why I think he's going to hit about 250. I think Pete has a big year with a ton of bombs.
The main thing I loved about Pete Alonso when he first came up was not the 53 homers. Obviously, that was a part of it, but it was that he was a more well-rounded hitter.
Yeah.
He'd hit the ball the other way. He'd put the ball in play. He would drive in runs with a base hit. He has gotten away from that, which bothers me. Back to the third batting order, the third spot in the lineup as far as the run production there. It doesn't make sense to me. Boone can sit here and say that, okay, that's the data, which I believe, right? He's not making it up. They go over the analytics, and would you know statistically, okay, the third spot comes up. But not all those lineups that they put into the system had Lindor and Soto hitting one and two. It doesn't make sense.
So there would be variations that would impact the amount of times the third hitter comes up with nobody on base.
Well, where are we getting it from? What lineups are we inputting into the computer?
Maybe all of them, and they just come up
with
the average.
Okay, so all of Major League Baseball, within all the lineups, they're saying that...
Yeah, I honestly think that's the answer. Okay. So they're getting part of their answer from what the Twins and the A's and the White Sox are doing.
Right.
Which makes it pretty interesting. It's not just a Yankee-Met thing.
But you would think that the outlier would be, okay, yeah, that's great.
Unless you have a good lineup. That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
So I know exactly what you mean.
Which is why I don't love data. Because it's... because
it is data.
Because... Well, I mean... I understand it.
Yep.
And I think it does work to have the information, but it cannot be applied to all situations because all situations are not equal.
I don't disagree. I mean, we could sit here and say, well, listen, that is an irrefutable statistic that the number three hitter in baseball is provided the most opportunities with nobody on base. Okay, fantastic, but I would guarantee that, you know, last year, Aaron Judge, you know, his amount of opportunities with guys on base, or Keith Hernandez in 86 with Lenny and Wally in front of him, or Mattingly with Ricky and Willie in front of him, that those percentages were a little different than, say, the White Sox, who basically won 40 games last year. That is interesting.
Yeah, I get it. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
All right, let's get a Bayside. Steve is on the Fan. Steve, what's cooking, buddy? How you doing today?
What's going on? Very excited about the coming season, obviously.
Yep. Yes, sir. No doubt.
Well, I got a Yankee point, and then I got a question for Sal about Soto. First on the Yankees, I was watching the MLB Network, and they had 12 of their 18 hosts actually pick the Red Sox, which surprised me. I know that, you know, since they've added Crochet and Bergman, that people are excited about them. But I think that when you're talking about a young team like the Red Sox, usually the development is not linear. I mean, you know, we've seen that when the Yankees, you know, back in 2017, we all thought that the Yankees were going to be a powerhouse, and then, you know, things happen. So what do you guys think about that?
I like the Red Sox to be the team to compete with the Yankees.
Me too.
In the American League. If I had to, here's why I would pick the Red Sox to win the division. The odds. They get a better, I'm talking about from a gambling perspective. The value you would get with the Red Sox, to me, is better than it would be with the Yankees. That's it. As far as the predictions goes, I mean, honestly, who cares what people say? You get caught up in it. Yeah, 12 of the 18, we had a bunch of guys on yesterday. They were saying Red Sox. Then you go to the NL East. Some say Phillies. Some say Braves. Like, does it really matter? The predictions, what they are now. Do this, because I used to do this as a kid. Look at what the magazines say and all the experts and what they project versus what it ends up with at the end of the year.
I used to love those magazines, like Athlon and Street
Yeah,
Spits
whatever.
And
it's usually never, Sports Illustrated, it's usually never accurate. So I wouldn't put too much stock in it, but I do think the Red Sox are, I don't even want to say a sleeper at this point. It feels like everybody, maybe the Yankees are becoming an underdog to a certain extent in the division.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're a lot to win the division, and their under 90 games win total suggests that a lot of people agree with that thought, that they're not a lock here. But I do like his other point. I totally agree. And while I also think the Red Sox are going to be the Yankees' chief rival here, and not sleeping on Baltimore, but baseball is the least linear sport. I totally agree. I mean, take Vlad Guerrero. Who knows? Maybe Vlad Guerrero is a Yankee or a Met next year. Probably not based on the big contracts that are already out there. But, like, Vlad Guerrero is one of the terrific young players in baseball. He's fluctuated between 322 and 270. You know, LeBron James in year five go from 28 points to 13. So that linear aspect of development, that little incremental linear, I think that's a really good point. I think he's spot on. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal at the stadium. Let us get John and Merrick. John, what's happening?
What's up, John? Hey, guys. How are you?
Okay.
Good. How's everything?
Good. You?
Good, good.
Well, you have a little cup of coffee this morning? What's going on there this morning? You getting ready for opening day?
Well, I'm a Mets fan, so I have to wait a little bit for the home opener. But, yeah, I had a question on something I read yesterday, and I couldn't believe it. And then I checked up on it, and it was actually true. These comments that Jazz Chisholm made in regards to how he's treated differently, how all black players are treated differently, especially on the Yankees. So my question is this. Great player, I want to say I wish he was on my team, but after hearing these comments, I'm glad
he's not. I didn't see that. John, I didn't see that. What exactly did he – anything else? I mean, I've got to obviously do my research on something that's sensitive.
He said along the lines – again, I don't have it exactly in front of me.
Well, you should, because this is important stuff, so but make sure you get it right. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not quoting anybody, and your producer checked on it, so it is true.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if it was the ESPN website or it was some website. Along the lines of how he did differently because of the way he wears his hair and his gold chains.
Boyle, we'll look into it, John. Boyle, you have the info on this?
Yeah, so it was in the New York Post, wrote the article yesterday, and Jazz, I think it was initially in The Athletic. I think that's where it came from, but he did an interview, and he basically said that he thinks, baseball is a white sport, and if he was white, nobody would criticize him for his flair, and they brought up the story about Miguel Rojas cutting up his cleats and whatnot from when he was a rookie with the Marlins, and he said if he was white, nobody would have done that.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. So
thank you, Pat.
That very good connected the dots there, Pat. Number one, I don't think he's totally off base. I think of all the sports there that we consume, baseball has been the most resistant to change. Now, I think it's changed a lot where individuality is stressed. Now, I don't love it, and not just, first of all, I really like Jazz's personality. Pete Alonso wears like an orange or a blue belt, and he's white. I don't like it. Like I think there should be uniformity to an extent. I don't mean with cleats. You don't have to look like the Knicks with the same haircuts and the same cleats back in the 90s, but the chains and the armbands and the neon and the hairstyle and the gold. Dude, if that was around when I was coming up, you bet your ass I would have all that. I love that stuff.
I can't.
And I'm white.
I can't speak for anybody else. All I could say is that I don't care where you come from, what color you are, if you don't perform well on the field or you have a bad attitude or this or that, I think it's fair criticism. So I've never – it doesn't even cross my mind, honestly. Also with Jazz, I don't know if it was about what he was wearing or what color he is as opposed to his attitude, which I have heard from people in the Marlins organization dating back years, because this was – we talked about this before. The Yankees got him.
Yeah.
That there were issues there.
Maybe a little immature. Not necessarily a black-white thing, but there are a lot of minorities on the Marlins.
Absolutely.
Rojas is one of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely not.
Yep.
So, the game has evolved. Remember, younger guys that would come up and that maybe would be feeling themselves, what would happen? The veterans would try to put them in their place.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter the color. It just matters of the experience or inexperience.
Think about Greg Jeffries. Great example.
Bingo. Perfect example. Greg Jeffries. White, last I checked, he was
abused, basically
ripped to shreds. Yep. And now he's since come out and said, you know what, I deserved it, whatever.
He was a petulant young player.
And that team also has come out and said,
we
were too hard on him.
Yeah, I know.
We shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
So this has been going on forever.
Yeah.
In sports.
Yep.
That's what I think was happening in Miami. More so than anything else. But Jazz is entitled to feel however he wants.
And he's really entitled to wear his uniform however he wants. And if the manager has an issue with it, then the manager should say, fix your cap, pull your cap down. And the fact that he doesn't tells me that it's okay with Boone, which is okay with me. I mean, I would wear my... Well, listen, I mean, honestly, God, the styles were so different, man. I'm like, you didn't go to a website when I was playing in high school and college and get... three colored, a cleat with three different colors on it, or, all these different chains and these armbands and personalized wristbands. But I tell you, if you did, man, I guarantee I'd have all of it. I had a fat gold chain. I had an earring. I had some cool haircuts, and that's it. So I've always been, I'm not saying I'm the most stylish person in the world, but I like flair. It doesn't bother me. You know, CeCe had his hat ticked to the side for years. It didn't bother anybody. Now,
what bothers me is,
but I don't know what Jazz is subjected to. That's why, this is a big generalization. Do I think there are some older white fans? I'm just going to keep it real. Who have maybe an issue with some younger minority players maybe wearing the uniform differently? I think it's a generalization.
Right.
And generally, that could be dangerous. But I know enough people. That I've heard, fix your hat. So I don't think that's incredibly uncommon.
Fair enough.
Would they say that to a white player? They might, but I respect Jazz's you know, what's in his heart.
My issue with him is his .250 career, .249 career batting average, and his .311 on base percentage.
You got to get on base.
He's got to be better. I mean, he acts and talks like he's an all-star, and he was an all-star once in his career.
Yep.
Now, maybe this year he does it with the Yankees.